Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Today, our conversation will be with Dr. Fayron Epps, who is an assistant professor at Emory University. She's also the principal investigator of the Faith Village Research Lab and founder of ALTER, which we will learn more about later on in our discussion. And today, we're going to be discussing dementia and the Black perspective. You know, in a recent article in Alzheimer's and Dementia, it shared Black participants in Alzheimer's disease research studies were 35% less likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's and related dementias than white participants. Despite national statistics that indicate that Black Americans are overall about twice as likely to develop dementias than whites, this is actually a much more complicated issue. There is a huge disparity in research, as that indicates, but you may not be aware, actually, the passage of Aduhelm, the new medication approved for the treatment of Alzheimer's disease. In the research phase, only 19 of the over 3,000 participants were Black. That's less than 1% of trial participants. And really, I view clinical trials as almost kind of the furthest point down the line. Not only is there a disparity in research, but there's disparities in receiving and seeking a diagnosis, all while carrying these significantly higher numbers of dementia. Recently, Banner Alzheimer's Institute has partnered locally with First Institutional Baptist Church to offer a program called Real Talk, really targeting the Black community. And I'm pleased that Dr. Epps is going to be joining us for one of those presentations. And that's how I first came across her. She has actually created initiatives to support Black families who are living with dementia by engaging with churches. And interestingly, in a previous interview I was listening to of hers, she said that often Black people trust church more than they trust their doctors.
You know, Heather, these stats are just so overwhelming. And trust is vital. And it's incredible and such a privilege to get to partner with dedicated and compassionate experts like Dr. Epps as we seek to make change and work to remove barriers and help caregivers navigate this difficult dementia journey. There's also this recent article from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, their National Institute on Aging. And it discusses the disparities between Black and white Alzheimer's disease research study participants and the connection between health risk factors and that memory problems are often viewed as a normal part of aging and other barriers, which call us to seek solutions. It calls us to action and it calls us to make changes together. And I am so looking forward to our conversation today with Dr. Epps.
Welcome, Dr. Epps. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here to be able to discuss the work that I'm doing in the Black community.
Before we get to that, though, I'm really curious to learn a little bit more about you. Could you tell us about your journey and what led you to connect with the dementia community?
Yes, it starts off back when I was getting my PhD, and my research was focused on family caregiving. And then thereafter, when I was applying for my postdoc position, I was questioned, family caregiving, that's very broad. You need to kind of narrow that down. And I went to the literature and I started looking at different chronic illnesses And what stood out to me was Alzheimer's disease. And so at that time, I had read the facts and figures that's put out by the Alzheimer's Association yearly. And I seen that African-Americans, Blacks were twice more likely to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And at that moment, I was in disbelief. I was shocked, totally just confused about the that how is this happening in the Black community? Because I'm unaware of this. So this is someone talking about myself, went through all the schooling, nursing, have been working in the community, at hospitals, nursing homes. And I never picked up on that Alzheimer's impacts the community, the Black community, that drastically. And so at that moment, I took it on as my mission to spread awareness about this and to let my family, my community know about Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia and how it's impacting us and what are those ways we can reduce our risk. So I took it on and it has turned into my program of research. And it all started off once I took it on, I started interviewing families in Louisiana. Because at first I didn't think these families existed. I was like, okay, the Alzheimer's Association report says this, but I don't know any families that are actually going through this. And my family, it's themselves have said that this is for white people. White people get Alzheimer's disease, not us, right? And, you know, and I had believed that. And so I set out on this quest to find these families. And sure enough, there were families that were right there. Families that came to my house very often that I had no clue they were caring for a parent with dementia. But once I started talking about what I was doing with my family, with my community, more people came out and shared their journey. And that allowed me to, and they welcomed me into their home for 2 to 3 interviews that I would have with them and their family member that was living with dementia. And I was able to really learn from them what they're going through. So the ups and the downs. And that really served as the foundation for all of the work that I'm doing now in the Black community and also with Black churches. And so here I am now.
I think that's such an interesting story. And you know who it actually reminds me of? In another interview, we talked to one of the founders of Banner Alzheimer's Institute, Dr. Pierre Thériault. And it's kind of a similar story where he didn't realize this bigger impact that dementia was having. And when he was looking for an area to specialize in, he started seeing these numbers and thought, this is an opportunity. Something needs to be done here. And so it almost kind of seems like a similar story where you're seizing this opportunity and seeing a need. I'm curious, could you share with us, how does dementia impact communities of color?
Well, you know, the way you ask that, it depends on, you know, what type of impact, right? Because we already, the literature and the statistics are already showing that twice more likely to have Alzheimer's disease are within the African-American community. And so the impact looks a little different because for some families that do not acknowledge this and maybe are actually facing this and don't even know it, then that creates a lot of problems, right? Because if you don't know what is actually going on with your family member or yourself, you don't know where to seek help. You don't know what type of help you need. And so to me, that's one problem. And so it's very important as I'm working in a community for me to spread this awareness so people can be aware and they can check their memory, understand what brain health is. And if they experience problems, be able to partner with us Against Alzheimer's as they put out the brain guide or just participate in other memory screenings so they can be aware early on. Because not only are we not getting diagnosed, we are late to get diagnosed. And if we can change that, that can also help the families as they're on their journey, being able to receive the correct and the the needed supportive resources. For those that have the diagnosis of dementia and family caregivers, care partners that know, okay, this is what we're dealing with, there are a lot of things that these families face because, again, this is not something that's talked about or spoke about a lot in the Black community. So then they become isolated. They don't want to share with others because they don't understand. So why try to tell someone what you're going through when they don't understand it? That leads to the isolation, that it leads to not getting the support as well. And a lot of family caregivers go through that. And then we got to, let's not forget about the individuals that's living with dementia as well, what they go through. Because I've met a lot of individuals, Black individuals that are being diagnosed with early onset dementia. And so they're in their 40s and their 50s, and they don't fit the typical description that a lot of people think that you're supposed to look a certain way to have dementia. And so they are getting a lot of backlash from their family and their community because they don't look like they have a problem. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, in the Black community, when we're talking about dementia, that these individuals and these families have to face.
It's so interesting to me to hear you talk about this. And one of the things that's impressive to me about you is that people trusted you enough to share their family stories and so that you can start to address some of these needs in the community, and that you've done that and in so many ways. And I'm just wondering if you can talk to us a little bit more about how there's this issue you said where people just aren't talking about it. So are there other cultural differences in the way people view dementia and caregiving in the Black community?
They're not talking about it. Sometimes a lot of families feel that this is the signs and symptoms that is associated with dementia is maybe the normal part of aging. Also, you know, there is families that I've run across, and I work with other colleagues where they see that this maybe is a curse, right? If an individual exhibiting these behaviors that are associated with dementia, then that person becomes cursed, and then they end up maybe locking them in the room or keeping them apart, separate. Mm-hmm. So these are the things that I think we need to be aware of. But to me, it all boils down to that lack of education on this topic within the Black community. So we can be aware of what's going on. Is there anything else? I'm trying to see, because that was a big question.
Yeah, that was a big question. And I love how you were talking about raising awareness and the importance of that, and how you're educating the community and listening to all that they're going through.
Yeah. And part of this, you know, with me educating the community, those stories that these families have entrusted me with, one of the things is they opened up because they wanted me to be able to share with others that may be going through the same thing that they're not. I mean, and mm-hmm. they haven't came forth or shared it with anyone. And I share those stories. Stories are very powerful. And I share that, and that in a lot of people are able to relate. And when I do community education, I do it all over, but one of my primary places is with the church mm-hmm. through the altar program that we have. It's the only nurse-led dementia-friendly congregation program. And so we partner with predominantly Black churches. And part of the piece of that is education and awareness. And we are very, we make sure that we go in and we provide the education. So people feel like we've heard, oh, I'm not worried about it. I don't need to learn about this. But we try to encourage them to attend the education events, because if you feel that you're not worried right now, within 12 months to 36 months, so give us a year to 3 years, you will know someone with dementia. You'll either be their friend, family member, or it may be a coworker. And you do want to know about this because you want to know how to support them. And that's the message that we try to go in with, because people don't want to hear about it. They don't, especially in the Black community. I don't want to claim it. I don't want to claim it. I don't have that going on. You don't even want to be around something that you don't want. Right. And the thing is, our education is not about us, it's telling you what dementia and Alzheimer's is, and you're going to walk out of here and you're going to have it. It is just mainly, it's primarily us just trying to educate so you can be a support for someone. And that's how we try to approach it, to get people to want to know more about this. I do want to tell you that, recently, it was in October, someone attended one of our education events, and she just was attending just to get information. And 2 years later, she met me at a health fair, and she pulled me to the side and she said, I attended the event 2 years ago. And she said, I'm so grateful for attending it because I now feel that I have signs and symptoms of dementia. And now I know what it is and what to do. And to me, that's powerful. And that just shows that I need to keep educating, spreading awareness, no matter what, even if people don't want to hear that I do need to speak on it and make people understand of actually what's going on and how we can support each other. And especially in the church, the church is such like, my research lab is Faith Village, because it takes a village, right? And I want churches to realize that we have to be there for these families. And so we have to know how to support our church member that's sitting on the same pew with us, being able to help them through this journey. Because this is, it's hard, it's harsh, and it's not easy. And family caregivers need the support, even if they don't ask for it. They need the support, especially in the Black community. We have the superwoman syndrome, I think it's called, being Black superwoman, and we want to do it all. I had one caregiver say, once I take care of everything, then I'm going to call you for help. I was like, that's backwards. I'm here to help you now, but again, that is that superwoman we want. And we know a majority of caregivers and care partners are female. And he said, we want to do it all, but family caregivers need help. And even if they don't ask, we need to know how to support them. And when I work with the churches, that's me talking to individuals, but then I talk to the churches, y'all, and I'm like, churches, you're a part of this care partner team. So you need to learn how to help these families as well. Because there's there's church hurt that's happening in the Black community. And even as it relates to dementia, because a lot of families have reported to me that they feel that the church turned their back on them when they needed it the most. And when they share that with me, it's like, wow. And I share that back with our church leaders so they can see how important this is, and to understand that they need to know how to support their parishioners in their congregations that are facing this, in addition to trying to reduce the risk and talk about brain health. I feel like I'm just rambling, so I'm gonna pause here.
No, Dr. Epps, I think this has been really fascinating, almost kind of food for thought. Mm-hmm. There's this almost like internal barriers that happen related to dementia and Alzheimer's that, don't claim it, don't own it, type of mentality, the lack of education, the lack of awareness, so that, this trusted resource in someone's faith community isn't supporting them. But then there's also barriers that extend beyond that too, things like resources and specialists. Can you talk a little bit about those sorts of barriers that you've seen in this community?
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. I had met with a group of Black caregivers that were providing care for a family or friend living with dementia last year in the earlier part, and I wanted to hear about their experiences, right? Especially with navigating the health system. And this was a follow-up to the report that the Alzheimer's Association put out. I believe it was in March of last year, where discrimination came up a lot and how that was a big barrier for communities of color to receive diagnoses and to receive supportive services. And so when I'm in this group with caregivers, it was a total of 19 caregivers that participated in our group sessions. Some of the key things that came out was forced advocacy was one of them, I should say. And they felt that they had to advocate for not only themselves, but also their person living with dementia just to get the proper care. So they felt that providers looked down on them as if they didn't know certain things. And so they had to come in there ready and be that advocate. They also notice a poor provider interaction. So systems wasn't interacting with each other. And so they would get caught in the middle. And when I say systems, you know, like your healthcare, your health providers, and if you go from one doctor to another doctor. And then third, they brought up what came out was payer source dictates the care. So there's a lot of discussion around insurance, good insurance, bad insurance. Is how they would refer to it, you know, and how if you had insurance with a managed care company, that's your good insurance. And then if you have Medicaid, that's your bad insurance. And so it was just a lot of back and forth conversation about that and how that really dictates the kind of care you receive, which I, you know, found that very, very interesting. And then discrimination came up, and it wasn't just about discrimination as it relates to the color of a person's skin. It was also discrimination related to class, sex, and if you're using public health insurance. They say that all played a part when you're trying to interact with the health system. And their biggest thing was the health system is just broken. It is broken. Because they are not able to really get the care that they need. And I'm not saying that it was across the board. We had, you know, one family that did say that they had some good interaction once they connected with the right doctors. So it was trying to find that right doctor. But they had good interactions. But for the most part, these are the things that they're saying, you know, that they are falling between the cracks as it relates to that. And we're trying, you know, when I hear this, I always, when I hear from caregivers, this is one thing they know, I'm going to try to come up with a solution. You tell me there's a problem, I'm going to try my best to see how I can not really fix it, but how I can maybe change things and improve experiences and situations. And so as a result of this, we developed a course called Caregiving While Black. And, you know, I guess as a result of everything we kind of talked about today, you know, taking those, the cultural reality of being a Black American, caring for somebody with dementia in the U.S. and put that into a course where we speak about that. And we address some of the things that I just spoke about that came up of how since you feel that it's forced advocacy, now I want to empower the Black caregivers so they can properly advocate when they do interact with their physicians or the health system. I want to educate them about the insurance. So it's not good and bad insurance. It's if you have this type of payer source or insurance, this is actually what it covers. And you'll know now when you try to seek services, you know, exactly, can you get this service or not? So we, you know, for this course, we brought in Black health professionals, Black individuals living with dementia, Black caregivers, Black gerontologists to cover certain topics. And, you know, I always tell people when they would come, we recorded this video recorded, and it was, what you want us to talk about, Dr. Epps? And especially my physicians, I would tell them, I want you to tell me what you want to tell every Black patient, every Black caregiver that comes through your door, but you can't because of any workplace constraints or things like that. And when I said that, that just opened up so much because all of the thoughts that they had, and they really want to tell Black patients, you need to do this instead of this, you need to call this person instead of that person. And they were able to do that for this course. And I think this is not the all in all solution, but I think that the course that we just developed may be just one piece of putting that puzzle together so that Black Americans can have a better experience as they're on their caregiving journey, especially for someone living with dementia.
That is so absolutely incredible. I love hearing about the work you've done, how you've built trust, how you've listened, and then how you've sought out solutions. And I'm just wondering if you want to tell us just anything else about ALTER and the Faith Village Research Lab, or the importance of clinical trials in general.
Yeah, so I can tell you more about all of that, but we don't want to go over our time. But there's one thing we didn't speak about. Part of the Faith Village Lab, my research lab, is we do a lot of faith-based work. So we spoke about the culture component as it relates to the experience as being a Black American and trying to be a caregiver living with dementia, but also the role of faith, especially for these families, is very significant. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of work in my lab where we try to help the families still maintain a spiritual connection. And we really believe that it's just as powerful as improving emotional well-being for our care partners and caregivers, and also being able to reduce some of those behaviors that are associated with dementia. And so that's one piece of my work, and I can always come back and talk more about that. With the ALTER program, for anyone who's listening, if you want us to come in your church, where we go beyond Georgia, even though I'm based in Atlanta, Georgia, we are working with Black churches across the country, because we want to make sure that we want to be that supportive service for them. So then they can support their families and provide them a framework. And a lot of churches are doing things and they don't even realize how what they're doing can really help families facing dementia. And so I just want to put that out there. And of course, clinical trials, it is so important for all to participate in clinical trials, especially Blacks. So for us to know certain things work, we need to have people to be able to participate in the trial. So when it does come out, we can say that, hey, more than that percentage, I forgot that number that you mentioned earlier, but you know, we can probably say 40 or 50% of the participants for this drug or for this education intervention was Black or they were Latino. And so it can show that, okay, so this works also on this group in this population. So I just think it's very important. And I tell families to ask questions. When you're approached to be in a study, it is okay to ask questions. And know that all studies do not involve needles. That's one of the biggest things. No one's going to inject me. I'm not letting them put anything in me. And all clinical trials do not involve needles. And then also, clinical trials is also a good way to get access to interventions, treatments that you probably would not have access to. And I mean, we just had that new decision that came out about the latest Alzheimer's drug and how they're really promoting to be participating in clinical trials for Medicare to cover it. So, you know, that just shows how that gives you an example how participating in clinical trials would allow you access to some things that, you know, your managed care company probably would not cover.
All of these are such interesting points. And I think what I appreciate about the work that you're doing is it's hard to change a system. And you're working with the individuals. It's much easier to change an individual and educate an individual. So I think all of the work that you're offering is going to the root, and that's going to have this ripple effect. I wonder if you could give us your final thought before we close today when it comes to dementia and the Black perspective.
My final thought on that is that being a Black individual and as a care partner or someone living with dementia, our experience is a little bit different than what others may experience. And I think we all just need to acknowledge that. And for us as researchers and healthcare providers, we need to look for ways that we can support these individuals on their journey and know that it may take us tailoring certain things or doing things a little bit different to be able to support so they can still have access to certain things and still have this support that they need that maybe other individuals receive. So I think the biggest thing is just to know that the experience is a little bit different.
Today, our conversation has been with Dr. Fayron Epps, an assistant professor at Emory University, principal investigator of Faith Village Research Lab, and founder of ALTER. We are so grateful for your time and your extensive knowledge in helping us untangle dementia, Alzheimer's, and the Black perspective.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Epps. We were just honored to have you with us today.
You are welcome, welcome, and thank you all again for having me.
Hey, thank you, Heather, for another great conversation. And of course, we want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Dementia Untangled and share this podcast. I'm looking forward to our next conversation on Dementia Untangled. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org. And follow us on Facebook to learn about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.